This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, everybody. This is former CSU running back Kyle Bell, and you are listening to my main man, Brady Hole, on The Hole Show. Do not turn your dial. Keep it right here.
You didn't come in with the song, Mike. Week 3 of doing this, and you've already failed it. It's keeling you softly.
Bad.
No, it's okay. I'm not forgiven, but it's all right. We can move on. Sean, I was thinking about this, and you being a sports guy, Sean Keeler joining us from the Denver Post.
Among other things.
Normally our Keeling Me Softly segment, but junior varsity production team. Didn't get it done, so we'll move.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know it's harsh, Ooh. But he deserves it. You'll meet him and you'll know.
Universally speaking, I am junior varsity.
All right, hey. Sean, you're stranded on an island, and you can only watch one sport, one league, but the team that you like the most is not involved. Where are you going?
Has my team been disbanded?
It's like Men in Black. They're gone. They're just gone from the world. And so, if you choose the NBA, that team that you love is gone. But you're just watching, basically, in your mind, out of market stuff.
Oh well, then it wouldn't be. I mean, I'm going to say baseball again, because it's not that much different from how I watch the West. They're basically dead to me anyway.
They basically already dissolved.
I get out of market games on the T-Mobile deal with my phone carrier. So that's not a sexy
good.
Answer. But you,
no,
you knew you
good.
Could ask me. You're gonna get like, well, it's Keeler. It's gonna be soccer. It's gonna be baseball, or it's gonna be MMA and like specifically European MMA, like PFL Europe, or it's gonna be rallycross. Actually, you know what? If it wouldn't be baseball, it would be rallycross. But I don't really have a team there, so who knows?
Well, and also, this is a thinker. It's there's more to this question. It's layered because you're on an island. You only get to watch, and I probably didn't phrase this right, but it's only sports. So you don't get to watch, like, Scrubs or Everybody Loves Raymond.
I don't have, like, comedy or personal entertainment.
Just the sport.
Okay.
So it might be a good idea to pick a baseball type of thing so
you've
got longer.
Yeah, well, take up more time. Yeah, I'll go with that.
Okay.
Sure.
I just wanted to – I didn't throw that out.
Great. After you got done throwing your producer under not just one bus, but several buses, explained it great.
Yes,
good
thank
job.
You. Thank you. Sean Keeler joining us from the Denver Post. I don't, like, hate the Caden Salter thing, like, going back. I don't like going back to him. I would have rather just stay with him for more than, like, 4 seconds into his Colorado career.
Yeah, I think I'm okay. I think that's the good and the bad about Caden Salter. It's like the most okay decision ever. You kind of look at it and go, yeah, okay. Or relative to everything else you could do, because there's a lot of, hey, throw Juju out this week. And to be fair, and I was up in Boulder yesterday, and you know, I still hover in the corners there silently. I loom. If there was one week you could still screw around and treat this like the preseason, which is totally bonkers, by the way, but since that's their mentality, everything is NFL mentality, this is the last week you could really do that. I mean, no offense to Wyoming, and please, no, if you're a Wyoming fan, be offended. This is the last on paper team that's below CU's weight class a little bit, right? Right, you can't screw around. From here on out, whatever decisions you make that aren't forced by injuries or personnel or something else, this is your last chance to experiment. So, sure, I mean, you also need to win. So some people are like, yeah, try out Juju. If there's ever a week to try out Juju, which is a very first world arrogant response, is what you say when Wyoming's coming to visit. So, yes, again, Cowboys fans get mad. This is the game the bus were going, we're going to try out our 17-year-old quarterback and see what happens. You also can't lose, like, the only, and I don't think they will, like, the only Armageddon scenario would be the bus would lose this game, and again, I don't think that they will, I'll say that again, and I think it's a chance to get right, And I think it's also, though, important that you get right with an idea of what the next 9 weeks are going to be like, because you need to start pushing this train forward again, and it's starting to slide backwards. So, yeah, start. So here's what I like, and I wrote it in Sunday's paper, Saturday Online, from down in Houston, and this is going to sound wacky and we giggle, but there is a foundation of logic to this. I said, here's what you do. You start Salter, and you do what you were doing those first two games, and you're okay. And then what you do in the last 2.5, 3 minutes of every half is you put a Staub in and then up-tempo it just for those. You see what I mean? You use him like a relief pitcher, and everybody knows, and then suddenly you'll score 30 points a game. That's the best I can come up with, because it's the only thing that's really worked. Like, it's just because if you start a game with Staub, he's like, wah-wah. You know, it's like a relief pitcher. He's not an opener. He can't start. Okay, well, we're better off starting with Salter and kind of running screens and the occasional quarterback bootleg and fine. And then suddenly we need to do hurry up. We'll play him in for a series, like at the end. Great, because he's great running the hurry up. Like, that seems to be the one thing he does really well. So that's the bet. Not that they would ever, with a gajillion dollars, let me into that room to make that decision. But if Deion Sanders asked me, that is, which he never will, that would be my answer, is do that.
Get a fourth quarterback, and they could, like, change how college football is done. And you basically, like, it's a new position. Oh, you just made the team as first Q quarterback and then second Q quarterback. And, oh, I made it as the closer, Ma. I made it. I'm fourth quarter quarterback. Even if first Q quarterback throws for 5 touchdowns, you got to go to your fourth, because you don't want to wear them out. You know, you got them on a pitch count.
Here's another one. Put a backfield with Staub and Salter together and make them have to guess who's going to get the snap.
Yeah, yeah. Like, that's, or put all three of them back there.
Right. That was like T formation back in the day. That was the, you know who's going to throw the ball? Halfback might throw the ball. You know, it was only later that quarterback really had to throw the ball. You know, put multiple guys, you know, and then suddenly you're you know, you motion out Salter somewhere. And Staub could catch a ball, maybe, possibly, maybe. You know, you get creative. When you ain't got nothing, you ain't got nothing to lose. And at QB, they've got a lot of, not nothing, but a whole lot of not somethings.
Sean, Coach Prime, last week, someone asked about, you know, what, I don't remember the exact question, but it was like, you know, how uncomfortable are you not having a solidified quarterback?
Solidified.
And then he's like, what does that mean? And then this week it's, you know, what's your identity? And he's like, what does that mean? 3 weeks ago, it's, when am I supposed to use the timeouts? Is that all a shtick, or I'm starting to be like, dude, what does he know? Because he's like, he doesn't know what solidified means. He doesn't know what you know, what identity means. And he says Ohio State. What was their identity? And I think one of the reporters was like, run the ball. It's like, yeah, two guys does not make an identity. First off, two running backs ran for over 2,000 yards. You know, spread out. Last year, I would say that the CU's identity was kind of based around two guys.
So, they had an identity. It was Shadur to Travis.
Right.
Or Shadur to Shepard or Shadur to LaJonte. Yeah, they were throw and go. And they don't have that. I mean, I wrote about it today at DenverPost.com, like, why the one big obvious flaw in the Prime method is you just can't replace 80-90% of your offensive line every year. You can. I mean, no one's saying you can't. Legally, you can, but you can't, and expect to then be like Ohio State or like, we're going to run the ball. It'll be like Utah. Here we go. Like, it's just really hard to do, and they clearly are. Oh, they are better. They are not doing it. And where we notice that they're not doing it is because they don't have that kind of all-world NFL passing game to fall back on. I was rip on the O-line a little bit, though it hasn't been bad. It's been better, but what it is it's just not better enough when you don't have a premier passing game to go with it. In fact, you have a bad passing game. So what, the Buffs have gone from a NFL-level superior top-five passing game, bottom-five run game, to a, I think they're 105th, to a bottom 20% run game and a bottom 30% pass game. So the good news is, you're balanced.
Yeah, true. There it is.
You're kind of mediocre at both.
There's the identity.
Pat Shermer, you found your identity. We're mediocre at everything. But we're up from bad at running the ball, because they are. They're averaging, I think they have twice as many yards per game on the ground from this time a year ago. And they have about 15 to 30% more attempts. So that's better. But their pass game is down like 80%. So you could, like, to your point, you just don't have one. Now your identity, the Buffs' fundamental problem is, and this isn't a problem. Let me just say the problem is their offensive identity is whatever Pat Shurmur wakes up with that day. That's fundamentally a problem. But their identity is Deion Sanders. It's him and the hat and the shades and the tent on the sidelines and whatever else. It's him. And I kind of joke, that's kind of why Ralphie retired and kind of quit in protest. Is she just, look, the minute you ran Lil Wayne out there instead of her, she was done.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, 100%. Noticed,
I mean, it just has not been the same. These are not stupid animals. We joke that he's replaced, you know, Ralphie is kind of the icon of the university, and he has. But when you do that, and this brings it back to the Shurmur thing, and you are so good at the PR and the branding and the things that you do well, the recruiting and the sales and the glitz and the glamour, and they are. They're very good at that. Deion Sanders is excellent at that. As we said, Deion Sanders can sell anything to anybody. Like, he's that good at that. But to do this, then to run a football program, you are terribly reliant on the X's and O's and on game day on your assistants. Like, hugely. Which every coach is. That's how the organizational tree is set up. But he really, really is. And now we always said this is gonna be the season we're gonna see what it's gonna look like without that star studded senior group and those NFL players. We're seeing kind of what it's like with those coordinators who don't have NFL-level players and what they could do with it so far. And it's too early to ring a lot of pain. We want to panic. It's Houston. You lost to a basketball school, you know, by 2 touchdowns or more. Yeah, I mean, Houston's all right.
I think they're all right.
Yeah, I think they're all right. I think, but what it is it just you're not in the upper pecking order when you lose a game like that. And Georgia Tech is clearly more than all right, and you were able to hang with you got like 5 turnovers right away, and only got 7 points out of it. But you're able to make that competitive, and you had things to build off there. So I don't think they're bad. It's just apparent to everybody that they're not good, and that maybe the wonder children assistants that we thought had solved everything a year ago aren't quite the gene. You know, that Turner isn't, that we made them out to be, and that when you take away as much talent as they lost, as you would with any team that loses that many draft picks, regardless of where they're drafted, there's going to be a fall off. And I think that there's a little bit of cold reality setting in for everybody, including the coaching staff, and I would think Deion too. And how do you handle your point about why is he always throwing questions back at people? None of us handle adversity great. And I think that's kind of obviously, having been on the other side of that in a very public way, that's his default defense mechanism. And that's not a great sign, though, either, even though it's been fairly pleasant, what I've seen relative to what I went through.
Yeah, sure.
A year ago. Yeah. I think he's a little tamer, but it's also his defense mechanism. But that's not a good sign of I feel good. It's not a sign of comfort, right? I think it's a sign of some concern. And I think it's understandable. And there's a lot of layers to this. And he'll probably never say out loud how many of those layers have been impacted by his health as well. And that's the elephant that's in the room, too, because a lot of this, I got to thinking of this last week, a lot of this, we're going to spend September figuring out who we are. I wonder how much of that is because they couldn't spend May, June, and July figuring out who they were collectively as a group, which you can only do so much, obviously, by rule, but it was a different deal this spring that way. I wonder how much is that catch up. And that's not an unfair football assumption, and I don't know if you want to call it that. If you're playing catch up, we obviously know there's a reason in 2025 why a coach prime team would have to play some catch up with personnel and getting comfortable with where they are. And that had nothing to do with football, and it had nothing to do with anything that was intentional. It was just an unfortunate roll of the dice with somebody's health. But they do look like a team that's trying to play catch up. And after this week, you're going to run out of time. And maybe ultimately they do make up that ground, but you're running out of weeks to do it.
Sean, great stuff from you as always. Enjoyed the story. All things Buffs too. I checked that out, and then you know the Evan Ingram. We're up against the break. I got about 20 seconds here, but Sean, appreciate it. I know it was awesome. You're awesome as always, and we'll look forward to catching up with you next week, my man.
All right, talk soon. Thank
all right, man.
You.
Sounds good. Michael, 44 minutes after the hour. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.